reluctantly. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this day, for the blessing of John's ministry to us, both the 2000-year John and John in preparing these lessons for us. We ask that you would give us ears to hear your word, that we would rightly weigh the truths of your scriptures, and above all else, so that they would draw us closer to you in faith. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I used one of the two words up there.
Yeah. Funny you should have mentioned the John and John thing. Back in my younger, more immature days, I was fond of saying that I was currently working on writing the book of 4th John. So.
Fourth John.
I've matured since then.
Have you written it yet? Or?
No.
Oh,
yeah. No. I think the actual John did pretty good with his three.
His
so.
Three, so you don't need the fourth.
All right. We have two PDF files this week. Start with the one that's Epistles of John, just like we've been doing. We had two verses we didn't cover last week, and I want to cover them quickly to get on to the lesson, the main lesson for this week, which comes from this passage. Actually, it's 1 John chapter 5 from 1 through 5. John mentions faith several times and believe several times, and those are the things I want to talk about to lay them out a little bit. So, we'll skip the quote, go straight to the verses, and you know what? I'm going to need my reading glasses.
Reading glasses are good.
Not only if you want to read, but, you know, if you do want to read, they're very helpful. So, I dropped my reading glasses on our brown floor, and I couldn't see them and find them, and then I proceeded to step on them.
Ooh.
And Aaron spent like a half an hour trying to unbend them and unpretzelize them to be usable for me this week. So, 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, so we're talking a lot about overcoming faith and believe. And these are the only excerpts I have for this passage this week, and then we'll move on to faith and belief. In verse 4, John says that everyone who has been born of God is able to keep God's commands because he's been given power by God to overcome the negative influences that would prevent such obedience. So we are able, even though we fail at that, God has enabled us to overcome. Because of the new birth, the believer is given supernatural power to withstand the forces of this world. Who is it that overcomes the world? It's a rhetorical question. Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And yet, I always like it when I see "and yet." It's you know, it's like it kind of smacks you in the side of the head to say, pay attention now. And yet, the pressure from the world to be conformed to its mold is strong. This is why Paul, for example, in Romans 12, warns, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed in your mind. This is a constant battle, because the assault against Christian character and Christian behavior and Christian belief is ongoing in a world full of darkness. So it's another one of those now and not yet things. Mm-hmm. We have overcome because of our faith in Jesus, because Jesus has overcome. And yet, we are still doing battle every day to overcome.
Right.
So both of those are true, and both of those are what's going on. And I like that kind of thing. I like that it's already, you know, the battle's won. There's that old Bill Gaither song. You know, the battle is over. It's been won already.
I think that's the single most quoted song in this class.
Yes?
I think it is.
Okay.
not complaining at all.
Yes. So our application from this, as we finish up this passage in 1 John 5, is that we have already overcome the world because our faith has triumphed over the world at the cross. And yet, we are daily in the process of overcoming the world. Okay? Anything you want to tackle before we go on to part two of the lesson?
No. That's good.
Okay. So, let's go to faith and belief. I have to go to a whole different place now.
This is a very Supreme Court look to it.
Mm-hmm.
You like that? It's old. I made this one, 2003 or 4. It was done in PowerPoint and converted to Keynote.
I was going to say it looks like PowerPoint 97.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, it works the way it is, and I'm not inclined to want to redo it all Keynote with different backgrounds.
It works really good.
So, I've just left it the way it is. So, faith versus belief, or faithing versus believing. I'm going to make up some words.
Hey, that works for me.
Okay?
I do it every day.
You understand that the translators of Scripture were very good at making up words.
Mm-hmm.
The word baptize never existed in the English language until they went to translate the Greek word baptizo, and theologically, it was a hot potato because you got the Anabaptists that wanted to immerse and the Anglicans and the Reformed people that want to sprinkle and pour. And so instead of translating that, they just transliterated it and pulled it right into English. That way, everybody could be happy with it.
Was that from the King James? Was that when that was?
You know, it probably predates the King James. Probably Tyndale, because King James borrowed a lot of phrases from the Tyndale. So, I will make use of that. Now, unfortunately, we're going to look at English.
Dum, dum, dum.
As in grammar. Probably the least favorite subject of anybody who's ever been through school. I like the reading part of English, the grammar part not so much. But it's necessary, so let's dive into the grammar part here just a second. English 101, a noun. You probably learned this in like first or second grade. A noun is a person, place, or thing. It's something. Okay? A verb expresses an act, occurrence, or mode of being. You are something or you do something, basically. So there's an action or a being that goes with the verb. And those two are different. A noun is not a verb. A verb is not a noun. You with me so far?
Yep.
Okay. I haven't gone too deep into grammar, but we're getting there. Let's look at some examples. The noun love. All right. It's defined as an emotion felt towards someone or something. As a thing, by the way. And the person, place, and thing, that would be a thing. Examples. Love is a dangerous thing. There are many kinds of love. Love has a language all its own. That's using the word love as a noun. Now, unfortunately, unlike most other languages, we often in English have a verb form of a noun that is identical, which is highly confusing to the poor people trying to learn English. Because we have the verb love, which is the exact same word. In other languages, what they'll do is they'll change the ending of the word so you can tell that it's a verb and not a noun. And in English, you have to figure it out. So, in English, the verb for love means doing the action of the noun love. All right? It's doing love. Examples: I love you. Okay? That's an action. Michael loves his new bike. I wrote that back when Michael was of the age to like a bike. He's 34 now, so. Jesus loves me, this I know. So we see the same word love used as a verb. Everybody with me? I haven't gone too far deep. Here's some examples of nouns and verbs that have the same root or actually the same word. Creation is the noun. Create is what you do. Work is the noun, and also work is the verb. In other words, I work hard at building something. Or I go to work as a place. Mm-hmm. Use the same word, exactly. I drive my car or watch me drive this ball into the hole, as in golf. Okay? I drive my car as a verb. As a noun, what do you say? How do you express drive as a noun?
You say I'm going on a drive?
Exactly. I'm going on a drive. I'm going to take a drive. So it's the exact same word. We have...
I'm going to drive on the drive.
Then we have belief. Belief is a thing.
Happy drive.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Have fun. Belief is a thing. Believe is what you do. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we have the noun and the verb, and they're clearly related to each other. But they're not identical. But we know what they mean. Believe is having a belief. All right? Then we get to faith. Faith is a noun used all the way throughout Scripture. And the problem is, where's the verb for faith? Greek has a verb for faith.
Really?
We don't have an English verb for faith. And what happens in our translations is every single time, with one or two small exceptions, you will see the verb for faith translated as believe. And believe is not the same as having the verb of faith. Faith means doing faith, having faith. It's an action based on faith. Now, the few exceptions I said that aren't translated as believe will sometimes be translated as trust, which is vastly superior. Much, much better way to handle that word. So we're going to look into this idea of why don't we have an English word for faith and why do we stick believe in, which obviously is from a different root and a different word. Okay? So in Greek, the noun means, for faith, assurance, conviction, trust. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a confidence and trust on something without evidence. Okay? In Greek, the verb means to trust in, to commit to place confidence in. That's the verb for the Greek. And just so I can show off, the noun for in Greek for faith is pistis, and the verb is pisteo.
Pistachio?
That's almost like pistachio.
Oh, now I understand why I like
they,
pistachio.
Obviously, they have the same root.
Pistachio is the substance of things not seen.
They have the same root, right? But a different ending, so that you know one's a noun and one's a verb. It's very, very clear and obvious when you go reading through the Greek that pistis and pisteo are the same word, one's a noun, one's a verb, of the same thing. And our problem actually comes with English. According to Webster, In English, belief may or may not imply certitude.
Makes sense.
Oftentimes, we use the word in common English to mean, I think something.
35?
Yeah. Say that again?
I believe the answer is 35.
Exactly.
42.
That's close, yeah.
As a substitute for I think, or my best guess is, or it may be, all right? And that's how we use belief. And it does not have to be certain. And according to English, faith almost, Webster says this, I've got a handout I'm going to give you in a few minutes where I've excerpted directly from Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary 11th edition. That's one of those big, thick guys. According to Webster in English, faith almost always implies certitude even when there is no evidence or proof. Okay? So you can see that those two are not the same. Belief is not an equivalent of faith. Therefore, if belief and faith are not equivalents, believe and the missing verb for faith cannot be the same. And we err in just substituting believe throughout the New Testament every time we come to the Greek word for the verb of faith. So this lesson is not that I'm going to be able to change all these translations, but to make you aware that when you're reading the New Testament and you come to the word believe, they who wrote it did not mean it the same as we do in English.
So question.
Yes. I see that hand.
When belief was first used in the New Testament, in the translation of the New Testament, the English word for belief, did it have a different meaning or emphasis than it does now? Or has it always been a bad correlation?
It's never been good. Because there wasn't really a verb for faith,
mm-hmm.
which I don't understand why they didn't make one.
Mm-hmm.
They did with baptize. They've done it with lots of other words. And I think we'd have been better off if they had made one. But I don't want to be completely one-sided. If you look up believe in the dictionary, the excerpt that I've got you is a handout here. Take one, pass it around. These are excerpts from what's in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. There are other meanings listed where belief seems to be more like faith. The problem is those are all alternative.
Not primary.
Well, even so, in practical use, they could be used that way. In other words, it's technically not wrong to use believe, because in some usages, believe can be the same as faith. The problem is the word is wishy-washy and you don't know. And in the way we commonly use English, believe is a poor substitute for the verb of faith.
Kind of like hope, when we use hope in the
yes.
Bible, and it's not what it...
It's at not...
Least currently, it's not...
Exactly. We think of hope as something that we think possibly might happen. And in Scripture, when you see the word hope, it actually means something that has not happened yet, but definitely is going to happen. So it's the Greek to English is wishy-washy, and we lose something there. And that's because we tend to want to translate word for word instead of taking a word and making it into a phrase.
Right.
Plus, it becomes difficult if every time you see the word believe, you have to put in a non-existent word and instead a definition to trust with certainty.
Right.
And that gets okay for one time, but if you see that word 10 times in one chapter,
wait,
you start to go, this is really bad.
This doesn't flow.
Exactly. Bad flow and tough to wrap your arms around. And so my reason for doing this is for, so you understand. And I have a story that's coming up in a second. But here's the big, see the big page? Faith and belief are not equivalent terms.
Bold and capital.
Yes. If you leave nothing else from this class today, come away understanding that belief and faith are not the same. And the verb for faith and the verb for belief also are not the same. They're different words. Now, according to Webster in English, believe means to accept as true, genuine, or real, or to hold an opinion. Obviously, I can hold a different opinion than you, and one of us could be right, or we could both be wrong. Or we could both be right, depending. And that's the problem with a belief that's different than faith, because it lacks the certainty. There is no English verb which means the same as the Greek verb pisteo. This Greek verb is usually translated as believe, but the English verb believe does not carry the concept of conviction, trust, or certitude. It may carry that, but it does not necessarily carry that. And that weakens the translation. In fact, I would be so bold. There for many years has been this great theological debate between different camps about something they call easy believism versus lordship salvation. Mm-hmm. What actually does it take? What do you have to believe to really be saved? And I would say the root of most of that problem is misunderstanding the word believe when it should be faith. Mm. And it's a deeper, more profound and important word than just saying, I think that Jesus was God's son.
Right.
Well, no, that doesn't really change your life. I'm making a commitment in my life to the idea that Jesus Christ is God's son is a whole different thing. See?
Yeah.
Yes. So that would solve this problem, and the problem, I think, largely comes from our English.
Bad definition.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Hey, every once in a while, I come upon something that isn't bad. It's coming up in just a second. So the Greek has a noun for faith, pistis, and also a verb for faith, pisteo. English has a noun for faith, but no verb for faith. And now we have the story. Niagara Falls. I am going to drive home for you the entire concept of this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I answered that with a yes. All right. Back in the early 1900s, this is a true story. And even if it isn't a true story, it still drives the point home very well. They did all kinds of crazy things at Niagara Falls. People used to go over Niagara Falls in barrels. Why? I have no idea. Why would anybody want to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel and possibly be killed?
Likely.
For what purpose? I don't know. But it's one of those crazy things. That's real. People actually did that. Another thing that they did is there's these high wire guys, you know, like the Walland, that did between the Twin Towers back when there were Twin Towers. Okay? Mm-hmm. They would set up a high wire across Niagara Falls and walk over the crushing, noisy, loud, pouring water, and they would walk back and forth on the high wire. Okay? And people would watch for entertainment because they didn't have TV. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's the story. One of these guys strung up his wire, all right, to walk back and forth across. He walked all the way one side and all the way back. And everybody cheered and were excited, and how cool is that? Then he got a wheelbarrow. Now you take the wheel off so you just have the rim. And you put the front wheel on the wire. And he pushed the wheelbarrow all the way across, turned around, came all the way back. And then he asked the crowd, How many of you believe I can push the wheelbarrow all the way back and forth to this side safely? And everybody raised their hand. Why?
Because he just did it.
Because he just did it.
Yeah.
Then he said, okay, who wants to get in the barrel? Now, do you see the difference between believe and faith? Faith is climbing in the wheelbarrow. Because that's a commitment to what you say you believe. You can say you believe that he can carry the push the wheelbarrow back and forth, but climbing in the wheelbarrow is a whole other thing. And that, I think, is the essence of what we miss when we translate the verb for faith with believe instead of making an actual word for faith. Because it means you're making a commitment with your life. Your eternity. It changes who you are instead of just saying, I read the Apostles' Creed or say the Lord's Prayer. Those are more belief things. Mm-hmm. Living it is what changes your life, making commitment to those beliefs.
So I have a question.
Yes.
James chapter 2, even the demons believe and shudder.
Yeah.
Is that the same? Is that a faith verb or is that... belief.
See, that would be one of the belief words.
Belief verbs. Okay.
Yeah. They assent to it. They acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't changed who they are because of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Speaking of interesting, the survival rate of daredevil attempts on the falls is approximately 75%. So you have a 1 in 4 chance of dying.
Which, by the way, just goes to prove that I didn't make that up. They're actually crazy people that...
They get in like whiskey barrels and go over
things.
And then they get arrested on the bottom.
Yeah.
So if you're one of the four that gets to live, then you get arrested.
Three of the four get
arrested. Yes. They used to do the same thing when they would walk across the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
They arrested you for that.
Yeah.
So between 1850 and 2011, they have found an estimated 5,000 bodies at the foot of the falls.
That's yes.
Mostly suicides.
Yeah.
20, 30 a year. I digress.
So, yes, but just to let you know, that's a real thing. People did string wires across and walk because entertainment.
Did Houdini go over in a barrel?
Yes.
Houdini, one that did that.
And he lived.
I really don't know. I hesitate to commit to that because he did a lot of crazy things.
You don't have faith?
You don't have faith in yourself?
Not in Houdini.
Not Houdini.
Oh. All right, so let's close this thing up here. We are doing good this morning. Wow.
We're on
the
early.
So, here's what I have for you. The ABCs of faith. All right. Which I used as one of those anacronyms, or is that what you call it?
Acronyms.
Acronyms based on the first letter of these words. So think of ABCs, including the S. All right. Faith is an action based on a belief and sustained by confidence in its source, which in our case, we believe our source is. Our source? Yes.
God. Yeah.
So it's not just a belief, it's an action based on a belief, all right? Trust and commitment are better translations for faith
than belief
is. I tend to like, this is just me, I tend to like to put an E on the end of faith to turn it into a verb and make it faith. I faith this. Yes, I faith this instead of I believe this. I faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, born in the flesh.
Sounds an awful lot like feign, which isn't what you.
Yes, which is the opposite. So, but you know they could have done that in English. And if you look at the handout I gave you, at the very bottom, there was an old English word in the 15th century. Now, 15th century means the 1400s.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is way before Shakespeare.
Yeah.
200 years.
Before the Reformation.
Where they would use faith as a verb. I faith something. Just like we use work as a noun and a verb, they would use faith as a verb.
What we need to do is start doing that.
Yes.
And that'll be contagious.
We will change all of Christendom.
All sorts of other nouns. So
we can't put an E in the faith.
Sure
I don't have room to put it here. Faith is here. There's no room for an E.
There's plenty of room there.
Well, you can just go back to the 14th century.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's Joan of Arc kind of day, time frame there.
We turn nouns into verbs all the time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we'll just say, you know, I faith that.
Yeah.
I faith that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to trouble you a little bit.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Yeah. The word that James uses about the demons.
Yes.
Pisteo.
Yes. But there's context.
Mm-hmm.
What I did this morning is I did a word study this morning just to back up my my premise to make sure I wasn't totally full of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because just I did not
full of it.
I did not have all my Logos tools way back when I wrote this lesson, mm-hmm. 12 or 13 years ago. So I yanked out Logos this morning, and I did a search on pistis and
mm-hmm.
pisteo in the usage, and it's like 99% of the time it's translated as believe, and the 1% of the time it's something different like trust. And with the verb, I said, well, what about the verb for belief? And I looked it up, and I don't remember what the Greek verb is, word is for belief and believe. And it's like 90% of the time, belief is less solid than faith is.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the time, it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
So what I told you as a generality is, if you see the word belief and believe, that it's the weaker form, not 100% of the time, but 90% of the time. And you can go with that. And this place in James, what you do is look at the context.
Well, yeah.
And you would obviously say it didn't change the demons for who they are.
They,
so it must be a knowledge, not an action that they're referring to.
Yeah, they know that the fact what they believe is that there's one God.
Yes.
They have a certainty with lots of evidence and proof that there's one God. They know him. They were with him.
They acknowledge the fact without it changing what they do and believe.
Yeah.
What they faith.
And that's also not saving faith. Just saying,
hey, absolutely.
I'm 100% sure there's a God. I mean, you can look around the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
You can look at the trees and say there's a God. It doesn't mean saving faith.
Yeah. So the general idea is that believe is a poor substitute for the deeper faith. But there are a few circumstances, just like in Webster, if you look up the missing pieces in English for faith and believe, sometimes they're used in a lighter, less solid way, or more solid way. Because there's this flux of context that in all languages it will influence the meaning of something. So that's one of the problems with translation. If it was simple that you could always directly substitute one word for another, computers could translate things.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you've read some of the crazy things Google does when it does Google Translate, you find out that it hits things like about 70-75% of the time. It comes out pretty close, but some of the times it comes out really weird because you can't just substitute. There's no direct substitute of word for word that works for translating. So the essence of the lessons is still solid, that we need to remember when we see believe that it shouldn't be something you think, but something you commit to and trust in.
I want to also talk about that Hebrews 11. You mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Yes.
I place my faith in what God has done, not so much on direct evidence, but indirect evidence from past behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot. My faith is based on a lot of it. That's contrasting to what the world says is faith, which is blind faith. The
yes.
world says you have faith in God without any evidence. And I say,
yes.
absolutely not. I have a lot of confidence in my God based on his long history of countless examples.
Yes.
Lots. And so I'm staring at into the jaws of a lion of a current situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a decision to make. I can trust the Lord, because I don't see any way he's going to come through with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust him based on the jaws of the lion of another situation.
Yes.
Daniel in the lion's den, when God delivered him then, he can deliver me now if he chooses to. And so it's there may not be evidence in today's situation, but that doesn't mean there's not evidence.
Yeah. It's almost a thing where when it says, you know, evidence not seen, in 21st century modern United States, we mean you can't put it in a test tube and verify it.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that we haven't seen examples of God doing things.
Yeah. There have been supposed scientific studies. Prayer changes nothing. Well, prayer is not you push a button and the magic genie pops out with
and you get what you want.
God has a free will and will do as he pleases.
Yeah, prayer is it's a very complex idea.
Yeah.
I have a whole series of like 15 or 16 lessons on prayer.
Mm.
And for the most part we tend to misunderstand what prayer is and misuse it. And at the same time that we misuse it and don't get lots of prayers answered because we do it badly, we also underuse it because there's tremendous power there if we understand what prayer is and what God is willing to do for us. Mm. So we both fail at doing it because we do it wrongly, and we fail at doing it because sometimes we just don't do it strongly. In places where God has told us we can and should. The Psalms are so good for helping you understand those things. So, here's the summary. The word faith includes an element of certainty, trust, or commitment that is absent from the word belief. Believe is a verb form of belief, and in English, does not normally, that's a hedge word, does not normally contain those elements of certainty, trust, and commitment in our understanding. But sometimes, but not always, not generally. Because believe is the verb form of belief, it's very confusing when we see it also used as the verb form of faith. Or as I would say, misused as the verb form of faith. It's a substitute. Because we don't have one, but it's not maybe the best substitute. So I think in Bible 101 of every church, somebody should be explaining to people what difference is between belief and faith, and what faith means, and how to understand when they see the word believe in Scripture, they really mean faith. Not faith as a verb, not believe. And I think that would help a lot of people.
That's what we do with hope. You know,
yes.
It's seldom the case that when hope is mentioned, you know, from the pulpit or in teaching, it's not said, that caveat isn't given, that this isn't our modern convention of, well, I hope this is going to, you know.
Exactly.
It may come about, it may not, but it's a certainty.
Yeah.
I think I like your case for that.
Yeah. Scripture is replete with examples of talking about our hope, meaning the coming of Christ, meaning the coming of the kingdom. And those things are certain. They just haven't happened yet. Yeah. So two problems that churches, I think, should do a better job of explaining. And both of those problems come from misunderstanding and English use of a concept from another language, what's really being intended. So,
Nate's an idiot.
Nate is being enormously silly at the moment. So, the last page, the verb form of faith, which we see translated in our Bibles as the word believe, actually is an action which contains the elements of trust, certainty, and commitment. That sentence right there should just be on the wall in every classroom.
Your default.
In the church. Huh?
The default.
Yes. Default. When you see believe, this is what you should understand that to mean. So that's what I have for this week. It's one of my favorite lessons to teach. I've been doing it for 15 or 16 years. And
that was good.
And
that was good.
I'm free and able to do that anytime anybody ever wants it. So using my ancient PowerPoint presentation. Father, thank you for what John told us about being overcomers because of our faith. And that we are overcomers not just because of faith, but because of faith that Jesus is the Son of God. And that that faith and commitment to Him is what changes our lives and makes us overcomers of the world. Even though the world keeps trying to battle with us and hasn't given up, we know that in essence the battle has truly been won. And we are just participating in that process. We pray, Father, that you would come soon, that your kingdom would be manifest on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.